we would have no hope. I hope you understand that here this morning. It took the perfect sacrifice, and that perfect sacrifice was the Son of God himself. And I am thankful that he was willing. It said he was willing to take that upon himself for us. Yes, you know, he went there because there, like there's been said here so many times today, this morning during the sunrise service, Jamie did an absolutely wonderful job this morning. And also the teaching this morning is, you know what, brothers and sisters, we could not take care of this thing ourselves. If it would have been possible for us to take care of it ourselves, there would have been no need for the cross. There would have been absolutely no need for it. And I'm telling you here this morning, praise God that Jesus was willing to go to that cross one day. Thank the Lord this morning. I'm going to be over in John, the 19th chapter, if you want to turn there. I said this here last week, and when I preached about the sign that was hung above Jesus' head. The Lord has been impressing upon me that every little detail that we see about this, well, every little detail in the Bible, if you really want to dig into it, has a meaning, whether you want to, you know, whether we want to dig into it or not, whether we just want to read over it. I mean, that's up to us. We're entitled to that. But I'm telling you, when you really dig into it, you'll find out there's so much more to this than what is there, what just on the outside, just looking at it or just skimming over it. I want to talk about the crown of thorns this morning, if the Lord allows me to talk about that. And I went and I started studying about some of this stuff, and I said, this is so important for us to understand about this morning. So if you would, John 19, 1 through 6, then we're going to skip down to John 19, 16 and 18. If you would, stand, and let's read God's word this morning together, please. Beginning John chapter 19, let's start with 1 through 6. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, the King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." And when the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Then down to 16th and the 18th verse. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of skulls, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I praise you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to stand here this morning, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, for all the ones that have made it out here this morning. I praise you, Lord Jesus, for all that, Lord. And I ask you, Father, that you would get me out of the way as I always do. I pray for the anointing, Father, here this morning. I pray that hearts and minds would be open, Lord, and that, Father, we could come to know and to understand the great sacrifice that your Son put upon that cross for us, Lord. And we'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If you've, like me, you've heard the crucifixion, about the crucifixion, preached in a lot of different ways. I mean, down through the years, as many years as I know most of you have been in church, I know the years I've been in church, I mean, I've heard it preached in a lot of different ways. And I heard it is dissected from every angle that you know what you could even imagine. I've heard it dissected. And this morning, and I'll tell you like I did last week, from every pulpit around the world, it would not do it justice for us to preach about the crucifixion. It just does not do us justice. We could do it every week. We could do it every week. And I'm here to tell you, when you talk about the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, it just doesn't do it justice. Do I think that's hyperbole? No, not at all. I thank God for Calvary. I thank God for that. For even as cruel as this story is, even as cruel as it is, it still does not do it justice if you really want to dig down into it and figure out what happened to Jesus on that day. I'm telling you, it does not do it justice. Absolutely, it does not. But Calvary was necessary. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says this, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." It says in Colossians 2:14, it says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way." And I said this last week, and it said that they nailed it to the cross. Because you know what? You owed a debt. If you're here this morning and you're saved, and if you're unsaved here this morning, at one time in your life, if you were saved, you owed a debt. And Jesus Christ took that debt upon him. And God said he nailed it to the cross that you and I could have salvation one day. That's how important this is. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for that cross right there. And that why every detail of the crucifixion, I want to say this morning again, was a plan, and every detail has a significant meaning. It wasn't just a mob of people going out there that wanted to do in Jesus. It wasn't just that. It was planned from eternity past. You do understand that. It was planned from eternity past. When God set up the foundations of this world, he looked ahead and he seen that there would need to be that cross, and there would need to be a perfect sacrifice on it. That's for each and every one of us. And that plan was played out on that day in Jerusalem that many years ago, according, now get this, to the divine will of God. It was God's will that that happened. Jesus himself said this to Pilate in John 19:11, "You could not have any power over me except it were given to you from where? From above, from God." He told Pilate that. They couldn't have done nothing to him. Couldn't have done a thing to him if it was not power given to them by God above. Everything that happened on that day was preordained. Everything, like I said before, the world was set in place. Acts 2:23, "This man," we're talking about Jesus, "was handed over to you by the God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men," he's talking to the Jews, "put him to death by nailing him to the cross." They could not have done it unless God had allowed it, unless God had a plan to do it. That's why I'm here to tell you this morning that every detail of the crucifixion means something. Every single detail of it. Everything you want to talk about, whether it's the robe that they placed upon him, whether it's that seamless clothes that he wore, whether it was the spear, whether no matter what it was, him asking for a drink, no matter what it was, no matter what it may be, the nails, even the nails that they used to hang him on that cross meant something. Everything, the cross itself, every detail described in the Old Testament except for one. Did you know that? Every detail of the crucifixion was described in the Old Testament except for one. You know what that was? That was the placing of the crown of thorns on his head. I have not been able to find it. I looked and God had impressed upon me. Everything else is back in the Old Testament. Prophecy was fulfilled. But it says here, you listen, just before Jesus, and I'd like to preach on it, just before Jesus was led to Golgotha, he is turned over to the Roman soldiers for sport. And that's what it was. He was turned over to them. The Bible said they mocked him. They had a fake coronation of him being a king. And they did what? They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. I want to read that again. "Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they smote him with their hands." Can I tell you something, by the way? This is just a little tidbit. They said that the thorns that they made the crown out of in that time frame and in that era were like about almost 2 inches long. And they said that they made that, they plaited that the crown out of it, and they said that they put it upon his head. And then and in other scripture, it said that they took the reed that they'd give him to be a to be his little sepulcher. They took it and they hit him on the head and just drove that down even farther. And it wasn't enough. I want you to understand, it wasn't enough that they beat him the way that they beat him. Jamie said it right this morning. They make it look like in some pictures that Jesus was he just looked like he'd just come off of a shower and just hanging there. Nothing. That's not the case, brothers and sisters. By the way, most people that were scourged never made it to the cross. They were beaten so badly that they died before they got there. When they took that whip and all, I don't want to go into too many details about what was in the whip, but when they beat him, they would dig it so far in that it would take flesh off after every time. And they said it too many times, it would even reveal the organs, the inner organs of the ones that they were beating. That's how bad they beat Jesus. That's how bad they beat anyone that they took and that they was going to crucify. That's what they did. These soldiers, wasn't enough that they beat him. It wasn't enough that they had to mock him as well. These soldiers had to mock him. And the question I had as I looked at this is why? Was it necessary for Jesus to be crowned with the crown of thorns? Was it necessary? Like I said, I didn't see it in prophecy. As I mentioned earlier, there's not one Old Testament prophecy about this that I can find to deal with the crown of thorns. And let me say this. Let me ask you this. Was the crown of thorns necessary for redemption? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Placing the crown of thorns on his head did do nothing for our redemption. Not a thing. Would the Father still accept the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross if the crown of thorns had not been putting on his head? He would have, absolutely. He would have. I believe he would have. So why was it necessary? I'm asking you this morning, and then I'm going to give you what I believe God has showed me. Why I think it was necessary, why it was important. The crown of thorns was so important that three gospel writers mentioned it. That's how important it was. Matthew, Luke, and John. All of them mentioned it. So if it wasn't necessary for prophecy, if it wasn't necessary for redemption, why did they place the crown of thorns on his head? Because I believe the soldiers were preaching a sermon that day, whether they knew it or not. And that sermon still holds true today. That sermon still holds true out here in this world today. And I'll explain to you, even though they didn't realize it, they were preaching a sermon. Roman law had a custom in that time, which when someone was sentenced to die, they would be publicly ridiculed. And when someone was sentenced to death, after they were turned over to the Roman soldiers could do whatever they wanted to with them. They could treat them like an animal if they wanted to. They could do anything. Their orders were to crucify him. Their orders weren't not to just make it easy on him till he got there. So they ridiculed him. They mocked him. So they placed a faded robe on him, and they fashioned a crown of thorns, and they drove it down on his head, and then they believed, they placed that reed in his hand, a sepulcher they said was a sepulcher, in his hand, and I believe they begin to mock him. Look, King of the Jews, this pitiful example of a man. How dare they think that he could even compare to Caesar? How dare they think? How dare he think that he would even begin to compare to Caesar? And the Bible tells us that they spit on him. They punched him. You see that the crown symbolizes what sinful man thinks of Jesus. I believe that's part of why that crown was placed on his head that day. I believe it's what sinful man thinks of Jesus. They think he's not to be taken seriously. I'm here to tell you, the world does not take Jesus seriously. You're born again. You're sitting in church here this morning. You've heard the word of God down through the years. You know what I'm saying here this morning. You talk to some people out there and they just shove it aside. They don't take it serious. The world still doesn't take Jesus seriously. They think that his name is nothing more than a cuss word. Absolutely. They think that Jesus is only fit for ridicule and shame, and to see he is on the cross. They think that. Those who had seen him heal the sick, those that had seen him cast out demons, those that had seen him take 5 loaves of bread and a few little fish and feed thousands, those who had seen him do all these miracles, they were there that day when Jesus was hanging on that cross, and this is what it says. And they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. And if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross," it says. And likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him." Can I stop right there? I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, you may think that I'm being wrong here on this, but I believe if Jesus died today on that cross and come off of that cross and was risen again the third day, there would still be people today that would not believe it. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." The thieves also, which were all crucified with him, cast their same with his teeth. Both thieves reviled him at first. Both of them did. The one later repented. But when it started, both of them mocked him. Can I tell you this morning, brothers and sisters, the world is still mocking our Jesus. The world is still mocking his followers. The world is still mocking God. And I believe that when those soldiers planted that crown of thorns on his head and they begin to mock him, they were preaching a sermon that would last throughout eternity, because people would mock Jesus even to this day. They still think God and his Son is not to be taken seriously. In the book of Jude, it tells us, and it talks about the last days, that people will come that Jude calls mockers. And it says this, who will walk after their own ungodly lust. In the book of 2 Peter, it tells us the last day scoffers are going to come. What is a scoffer? Someone who thinks something is stupid and silly. I'm here to tell you that they think that we serve somebody that is dead, and they think that we are silly for coming out here and worshiping God, not only on Easter, but every Sunday. They still think that we are silly. They still think that this thing is crazy and nuts and you cannot prove it and on they go. But you know what I tell them whenever they come against me like that? I said, one day death will come for you like it does everyone. That day will be the day that you will become a believer. And it will be too late. Because you'll believe then that there was a heaven. You'll believe then for sure that there is a hell. But that'll be too late unless you take the sacrifice that Jesus has given. Today is the day of salvation. The book of Romans talks about them having their hearts darkened. And there are so many hearts that have been darkened because of, yes, the crown of thorns symbolizes this. That what the world thinks of Jesus, they thought he wasn't to be taken serious. Can I tell you this morning that whenever Jesus Christ came into my heart, I knew that it was real. Amen. Amen. By faith are you saved. The Bible talks about by the sins of one man that sin entered into the world. But by the obedience of another one, we all can have salvation. Amen. Amen. praise his name this morning. Yes, the crown of thorns symbolizes what they think of Jesus, what they think of him today. It's a symbol of what sin has done to this earth as well. This goes back to the book of Genesis. And I thought about this as we got into a little bit of it here this morning. In Genesis 1:31, it says this: "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Let me ask you a question this morning. Who invented the thorns and the thistles and the weeds? God did. When did he do it? He didn't do it during the 6 days. He did it after sin came. Everything was perfect. Everything was perfect. He said, and behold, was the day very... He didn't say it was just good. He said it was very good. And in the evening, the morning, were the sixth day. Did you know that God never created the briars and the thorns and the thistles in the first original creation? He didn't do that. If man had not sinned, there would not have been thorns and briars. Greg, can you imagine going out to your garden and just planting it and not worrying about it again? Amen. That's the way God created it. It was perfect. But because man sinned, God said this in Genesis 3:17-19. And to Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree," that was mentioned here earlier, "of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it," get this, "cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18, "Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field." It wasn't until after man sinned that this stuff come upon this earth. That's what sin does. At the moment sin had entered into the world, at the moment that the world was changed forever. Absolutely. Thorns and thistles and weeds was a result, was just part of it coming upon this earth. Every time you pull a weed, every time you're out of your flower bed or your garden, every time that you get pricked by a thorn on a rose, it should remind you of sin. Absolutely. Hebrews 6:8. "But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." You see, thorns and briars and all that stuff is associated with sin. It's associated with sin. Thorns and briars are a symbol of sin. When you see it out here, that's what it's about. Can I tell you something? Sin hurts. If you've ever been pricked by thorns and that stuff hurts. Does it not, ladies, or whoever's been deaf? It hurts, right? A family torn apart by divorce hurts. A family member that has been trapped on drugs and alcohol and can't get it, that hurts. Sin hurts. Those who have been tormented by depression and doubts in their hearts, that hurts. There may be some here this morning. I don't know your hearts here, but there may be some here this morning whose lives have been pricked by sin. And I'm here to tell you, sin hurts. And it will continue to hurt. There is a remedy for it, but it continues to hurt. And every time sin pricks, it will hurt you. And it continues to hurt. You see, these soldiers took the very symbol of man's sin. And what did they do with it? They made a crown of thorns out of it. And they took that crown of thorns with that symbol of sin, and brothers, they placed it on the head of the one who is the cure for sin. They did that. Brother, you know you should have been on that crown, or you should have had that crown on your head. You know that? You should have been the one wearing that crown. We often say, you should have been the one on that cross. Yes, but you should have been the one taking the beating. You should have been the one that wore the crown. You should have won the one that had the purple robe upon you. You should have been all that. And on that, placed upon that cross, the man who wrote 14 of 27 of the New Testament books, the Apostle Paul, said this. You know why? 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chiefest. There's no one that was any worse of a sinner than me. And you could raise your hand and you can say the same thing. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, you're worthy of death, spiritual death. Absolutely. I can say the same thing about myself. The crown of sin and shame, Jesus wore it for me and you. He wore that for me and you. But make no mistake about it, it should have been us, the ones that were wearing that. It should have been every one of us that was wearing that. In Genesis 22:13, I love this. When I was reading this, it just come right into focus. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, him a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns, by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Jesus was the sacrifice that was made instead of us. Amen. He was that, the lamb that was caught. Jesus, the thorns that were placed upon his head. For Christ also had suffered for sins of the just and the unjust again. It said that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Folks, the last thing I thought about when I was thinking about the crown of thorns was this. Those soldiers did it to mock him, not realizing that he was the King of Kings. Amen? They had no idea what they were doing, not realizing that they were putting there, that he was the King of Kings. Revelation tells us that. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Just let that sink in here for a minute. They placed one old crown of thorns upon his head. He's coming back one of these days. And my Bible says he's going to have many crowns upon his head. Many of them. You say, well, where did he get some of them? Well, if you remember the elders, they laid the 24 elders laid there at them at their feet, right at his feet. And can I tell you something that I just got to, just something that the Lord impresses upon me? The Bible says that we can receive crowns as well. Those of us, you know, that are faithful and true, to the faithful and true, and do. There's many of them. I ain't got time to get into all of them. How many in here think they'd feel worthy of wearing a crown in front of the Lord and Savior? I don't. I believe we'll lay him at his feet too. And I believe we'll lay him at the feet of Jesus, and I believe when it says many crowns, brothers and sisters, there are going to be many crowns. And he had a name written and no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were come in heaven followed him with white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. It says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They took the symbol, made of sin. And brothers and sisters, one of these days, I want to tell you something. What they did, he's coming again one of these days, and he's coming as a victorious king one day. He's coming as a victorious king. There ain't going to be none of this stuff no more. When he comes back, it's going to be his way. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Then the Bible talks, and again, I told you about the crown of rewards. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I would not feel worthy to have anything upon my head in front of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One day, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. He's coming back one day, and that sepulcher, that old reed that they give him, my Bible tells me he's coming back with a rod of iron, and he was going to rule the nations one day. He shall rule them with a rod of iron as a vessel of a potter, and they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Folks, there is a message in the crown of thorns. Absolutely. Even though it wasn't prophecy, even though it had nothing to do with our redemption, the message that I believe is there is, brothers, they're still mocking him. They still don't take him serious. And brothers, I believe also that one day, whether they knew it or not, he's coming back as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And folks, it represented the sin that all of us, every one of us, all, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care who you were one time. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's only one way to come. And I'm going to, Belinda comes up to get a song here this morning. I want to offer that to you this morning about that. Listen. I said, what a wonderful day to come to know Jesus. Amen. On Easter. Amen. On this wonderful, glorious day. I mean, any day would be good, but what a day about to know him today as your personal Savior. What about today, if the Spirit is dealing with you, to come and find out that, listen, this is real, this is true. Amen. And that all that they did to him, what they did, man, something that I thought about when they talked about the crucifixion, by the way, and I'll finish on this. Do you know back in the Old Testament, it talked about him dying on the cross? It talked about it. I believe it's in Psalms 22 where it talked about it. Do you know that that was like 600 or 1,000 years before crucifixion was ever invented? Did you know that? That scripture was written that long before. Before it was ever even thought of, the Romans perfected it. But it was said it was done even before that. And then 600 to 1,000 years before, they're saying, the crucifixion was even thought of. It was prophesied in the Bible. Tell me it's not real. Tell me it's not real. If you have a need this morning, please come. Amen.